Herschel and the Hanukkah Goblins is my favorite Hanukkah story. I have loved the story since it was first published when I was 6 years old. It tells the great story of a folk hero, Herschel of Ostropol, and how he is able to outwit evil goblins who are terrorizing a village of Jews. The goblins won't let the Jews celebrate Hanukkah, and it's up to Herschel to save the day and bring back Hanukkah. But what does it have to do with the traditional story of Hanukkah? On the surface, absolutely nothing. Spoiler, there are no goblins in the Hanukkah story. And candles weren't used to fight off any demons. The real Hanukkah story isn't even in the Torah. And despite what the average non-Jewish American believes, Hanukkah really isn't that much of a major holiday. So why do we celebrate Hanukkah? Where do its rituals come from? And why did I think we should read a children's book that has nothing to do with the traditional story of Hanukkah in this service? Let's back up and look at the history. Wait a minute. Let's back up and take a look at the history of the land of Judea, the Jewish homeland, and how it relates to Hanukkah. I apologize if what I'm about to talk about sounds too much like a history lecture, but I'm a history teacher, so you get what you ask for when I do a service. So, the Torah was actually written down, history teachers, we call it codified, in the 6th or 5th century BCE during the Babylonian captivity, 1,000 years after the founding of Judaism. This occurred after the Babylonians had conquered Judea and destroyed the first temple of King Solomon. Persians in turn conquered the Babylonians, and Cyrus the Great, the Persian emperor, declared that Jews were now able to practice their faith freely. He widely circulated a document we call the Cyrus Cylinder, which declared the right of each to believe in whatever faith they choose in his vast and multicultural empire. Many consider the Cyrus Cylinder to be the first universal declaration of the human right to religious freedom. It's only then, finally, that Jews are able to return home and build the second temple. So under first the Persians, followed by Alexander the Great, and then the rule of the family of one of Alexander's generals, Ptolemy, the second temple lasted for approximately 400 years. It wasn't until a different Persian dynasty, the Seleucids, descended from a different general of Alexander the Great, conquered Jerusalem again in 198 BCE. One of their kings decided to end the freedom of religion that Jews had enjoyed for 400 years. What's more, they decided to loot and desecrate the Jews' second temple after the Jews had fled the city in fear of persecution. That's where the story of Hanukkah really begins. The king of the Seleucids, Antiochus, banned Judaism, erected a statue of Zeus in the second temple, and sacrificed pigs to him at the altar. This sparked a rebellion, led by the Maccabees, to take back Jerusalem and save the temple. The Maccabees win against all odds and enter the second temple to see them for themselves all the damage that had been done. To purify the temple, the Maccabees created a new altar and lit the menorah at night during the celebration. Back then they used oil, and they only had enough for one night, and it would take 8 days to create new purified oil for the menorah. But then, according to legend, a miracle happened, and the oil lasted for 8 nights, exactly the time needed to create a new supply. This is why we celebrate Hanukkah for 8 nights now and light the menorah each night. So where do all the other Hanukkah traditions come from? Latkes, presents, what about dreidels? What in the traditional Hanukkah story that I just reviewed has anything to do with dreidels? The story I was told growing up was that little kids in Israel played dreidel while under the Seleucid occupation, while they were not allowed to practice their faith. The letters Nun, Gimel, He, and Shin that are on the dreidel stand for a Hebrew phrase, Nes Gadol Hayasham, which means a great miracle happened here, referring to the miracle of the oil that lasted 8 nights. As an adult, I realized this story makes zero sense. What is looking at 4 Hebrew letters and gambling teach kids about Judaism? And how did the letters on the dreidel celebrate a miracle that hadn't happened yet? The truth is that the dreidel is just a game that Jewish kids in Europe played 1,000 years after the Hanukkah story. Similar to the games like teetotum in England, where the letters on the top are T for take all, H for half, P for put down, and N for nothing. Almost the same rules for Jewish dreidels. And totem in Germany, where the letters are exactly the same as in Hebrew. N for nicht, nothing. G for ganz, all. H for hab, half. And S for stellein, put in. So what does dreidel have to do with Hanukkah? Absolutely nothing. Similar, potato latkes are not really about Hanukkah and are a modern invention. Potatoes were only grown in the Americas, so potato latkes weren't even invented until the mid-1800s. Prior to that, Jews made a similar pancake out of cheese, which actually sounds pretty good. But the potato latke we eat today is a dish shared by many Central and Eastern Europeans and added on as a Hanukkah tradition 2,000 years after the fact. Additionally, the idea of kids getting gifts on Hanukkah has nothing to do with the traditional story. As far as I can tell, kids didn't start getting gifts for Hanukkah until the 1950s in America. Unsurprisingly, this matches up with the rise of consumerism and gift-giving by non-Jews at Christmas. Charlie Brown would be very disappointed. So just like presents have nothing to do with Christmas, they have nothing to do with Hanukkah. There's even disagreement about the menorah. Some Jews only light one candle a night and argue that that's all required according to religious law. Others light one candle for each night that has passed. Even the most central tradition connected with the story of Hanukkah is contested and unclear. So if most of the traditions of Hanukkah have been added years after the fact and have very little to do with the event in question, then why shouldn't Herschel and the Hanukkah Goblins be my favorite Hanukkah tale? It's got adventure, it's got humor, it's got suspense, but it wasn't until this year that I realized its message is perfect for my Jewish Unitarian Universalist values. In both the traditional story of Hanukkah and Herschel and the Hanukkah Goblins, there is someone stifling religious freedom. And in both versions, we have a hero who stands up to this oppression and triumphs, ensuring religious freedom. There's an old Jewish saying about Hanukkah that says, "The Maccabees chased away the forces of darkness with swords, we do it with light." Herschel is even more of a UU story than the Maccabees, because he was able to use his cunning wit to beat his foe. And that should be our lesson from Herschel.